our last year of Zman. It's our last year of Elul, and we're going to be completing Sefer Devarim. We're going to be splitting it up into two shiurim. The first shiur is going to be on Parshiot, Vayelech, and Ha'azinu. And the last shiur will be on Parshat, Vizot HaBiracha. Okay, so we're going to divide it into two parts, Vayelech and Ha'azinu, and then... I got it covered. We're going to make it happen. I've actually been struggling with these shirim for a long time. The set of my Rebbe's shirim that I have ended before Vayelech Ha'azinu and Vizot HaBracha. So I spent a lot of time thinking about it on my own. I also dug and searched. I'm a collector, so I went and I dug and I searched, and I found some random bits and pieces of shirim from older times, from newer times, on Vayelech Ha'azinu and Vizot HaBracha.
How long did this take you?
To put this together?
Yeah.
I gave bits and pieces. I've given these shurim before, but I really, really wanted to nail it this time. So I've been working on this since noon to really pull these shurim together to hopefully have this be sort of the definitive shir in my mind and for you all on these three parshiot. One of the biggest challenges being what to do with Parshat Ha'azinu. And as we'll see, that's why it's in the sheet this way. What we're going to do is going to do Vayelech and Ha'azinu together. So let's start jumping in and let's see why, what the connectivity is between these two Parshiot, how they function, what they do, and how they begin to wrap up all of Torah Moshe. The first source on your sheet is all of Parshat Vayelech. Again, in the theme of Parshat Nitzavim, Vayelech, Ha'azinu, Vizot HaBracha, this is all happening on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, and so these are these very short, but very strong, very impactful parshiot. If you have Chumashim, I would still recommend using your Chumashim, especially because I'm going to read and translate quickly. If you're somebody who's trying out the class and you do not have a Chumash, you have the sheet. If you're somebody who's trying out the class and hasn't even set up it and has a Chumash, double points for you. Well done. So, for Parshat Vayelech, I want to start to read and translate and think about what are the parts, what's happening in the, underneath the surface of the fabric of Parshat Vayelech. Again, especially because it's such a short parasha, I'm keeping an eye towards what is our visual key always in terms of splitting up and breaking up the parasha. The paragraphs, the parashiot, pituchot, and stumot, which I gave you even on the source sheet. Okay? The breaks. The parasha opens up. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe is going. Where is Moshe going? What? Even metaphorically, where is Moshe going? He's going off to die, meaning he's literally walking off the stage of history. This is it. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is Parsha Biel. Yes, there's Ha'azinu Mezot HaBracha. What? He dies in the Mezot HaBracha, but this is all in the last day of his life. And right now, and that's indicative of what's going to happen in this Parsha, is already, even before Ha'azinu Mezot HaBracha, this is the Parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu is stepping off the stage of history. And we see that very clearly as we read the Psukim in the first paragraph of Parsha Vayelech. Vayelech Moshe goes, Vayidaber at Hadvarim Ha'ele El Kol Yisrael, and says all of these things to Bnei Yisrael. Vayomer Elohim, he says, and again, if it wasn't clear from Mitzavim, it certainly is clear from Vayelech that this is the last day of his life. Vayomer Elohim, Ben Mea Ve'eshrim Shana Anochi Hayom, I am 120 years today, and we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born and died on the 7th of Adar. This is the end of his life, this is the last day of his life. Lo Uchal Od Latzeit V'Lavo, again, this emphasis on movement. I no longer can go out and can come in. Hashem Amar Elayin, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Lo Ta'avor Et HaYarden Hazeh. You cannot cross the Jordan. Also, Lashon of movement. This is him going off the stage of history because he can't actually cross over into Eretz Yisrael.
Why is he saying that the reason why he can't go in is because he's too old?
No, I think he's emphasizing that this is the end of his life.
So
meaning... Say again?
Yeah, he's blaming it on Hashem. Is that Hashem can't...
No, it's like, I'm too old.
No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that, meaning he said, don't think of it as negative. Remember, that was so much what we talked about in Sefer Devarim. Don't see it as a negative. Try to understand what's happening underneath Pesukim. I think Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, no, like, this is the end of my journey. This is the last thing I'm giving to you and I'm doing for you, as you will see very clearly from the next Pesukim. Meaning, I'm no longer leading you, and you see it, watch, it just emanates from the text. You don't need so many things on a source sheet for shirim like these, for parshiot like these. Hashem Elokecha, who over lefanecha? Meaning, who is it almost seeming that that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the reins over to? Hashem. I'm no longer going to be able to be vayelech before you. I'm walking off the stage of history. I'm no longer going to be leading you at the word of Hashem. And Hashem himself, Hashem Elokecha, who over lefanecha? Now it's the Kadosh Baruch Hu who's going to be going before you. He's going to destroy these nations from before you, Viristam, and you will inherit them. Then he says, Yoshua who over lefanecha kasheri b'Hashem, Yoshua will pass before you, as Hashem said. What's weird about that pasuk? Anybody catch a weird shift that happened in the middle of that pasuk? Daniela?
He's saying that like, Hashem is going to lead him, and then like, literally a sentence later he's saying like Hashem is going to appoint Yeshua.
It's not even a sentence later. It's in the same pasuk, and it's the same lashon. Here again in pasuk Gimel, the underlines. Hashem Elokecha hu over lefanecha, Yoshua hu over lefanecha. So which is it? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu or is it Yoshua? Yes. Question mark. Who is it?
It's Yoshua leading with Hashem's help.
Louder.
It's Yehoshua leading with Hashem's
help. Excellent. Good. Who's the one who's leading them? Is it Yehoshua or is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is, as Daniela said, it's both. Yes, that's always the answer. But what's unique, and it's hard to do this because we haven't been through Sefer Shmot yet, where we meet Yehoshua. What's unique about Yehoshua? What is Yehoshua's identity? What is Yehoshua all about? Yehoshua is the one, the first time we meet Yehoshua, we'll talk about this more in Sefer Shmot later on in the year. But Yehoshua is the one, when we first meet Yehoshua, is the battle with Amalek. Amalek comes and attacks Bnei Israel. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yehoshua come, we need to fight a battle with them. And where does Moshe go? Moshe goes up to the top of the mountain and he raises his hands and they win and he drops his hands and they lose. Where does Yehoshua go? He fights the battle on the ground. What is it's telling us what Yehoshua is from his very first story. Yehoshua is the person who's the one who's living things on the ground. He's the one who's going to have to bring what's happening on the mountain, taking the Torah of Moshe, and bringing it down practically into the physical world, which is exactly what Devarim is all about. Devarim is all about taking the spiritual essence of the Torah, taking the Torah of the desert, and learning how to apply it into the physical practicalities of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what this pasuk is emphasizing. Who is going to lead the Jewish people into Bnei Yisrael very literally? Yehoshua. But when Yehoshua leads them, what is Yehoshua all about? That when I'm doing something, where's that strength really coming from? From HaKadosh Baruch. That's the dichotomy of Yehoshua. Yehoshua is the one who lives, bringing HaKadosh Baruch down into the world and expressing it in a physical way, using the same alliterations we've been using, seeing the details in the divine, seeing... What was the other alliteration? I don't know what the other one was. Seeing the details in the divine, seeing the spiritual and the physical, that's what he's all about. And so there's this beautiful dichotomy in the pasuk that now Moshe Rabbeinu is walking off the stage of history. Who's going to replace him? Yehoshua. But what's Yehoshua all about? Doing things in a physical way. There's no longer the same miraculous nature. Moshe Rabbeinu was doing miracles left and right. There's no longer a miraculous nature, but when Yehoshua walks before you, who is really walking before you when Yehoshua walks before you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the transition that needs to happen for Klal Yisrael as Yehoshua steps onto the stage of history, is to understand what that means. And we have a paradigm for it. That's Pasuk Dalet. Yes?
That's making Moshe sound like he's like this mystical creature.
Moshe Rabbeinu was totally on a totally different place. Moshe Rabbeinu was when we couldn't survive hearing the Aseret HaDibros, so Moshe Rabbeinu does it instead. He goes up for 40 days and 40 nights and doesn't eat and drink and gets the Torah. He's the one who brings down all of the plagues into Mitzrayim. He's the one, meaning he's constantly doing endless amounts of miracles. There is something very supernatural almost about Moshe
Rabbeinu. But it's also all from Hashem.
It is, but that that the miraculous stage is ending. And Moshe being a Bamidbar individual, being a Torah individual, but not a Nevi'im individual, we're shifting now from Torah to Nevi'im. What?
Moshe was
not a Navi, he was the Navi. He was a Navi of a level of Nevuah that was different from any regular Navi. That's one of the 13 principles we have to believe to be Jewish. That's one of the 13 principles of the Rambam. You have to believe not just that Moshe had Nevuah, but his Nevuah was different than any other Navi. We're totally transitioning from one stage, phase of history, the phase called Torah Shebichtav. And what's happening, and we're going to emphasize this in Vayilech Hazinu and Vizot HaBracha, when we're shifting to Yehoshua, we're shifting to Torah Sheba'alpeh. We're shifting to a totally different phase, a different stage of history. Leaving behind he who's bringing down Torah to Moshe, bringing down that Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, panim al panim, into a totally different phase, a totally different stage where there's no more overt miracles. It's not as clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there all the time, but you have to see him through Yehoshua, through his leadership, through what he's doing. There's never a time in Sefer Yehoshua where the Jewish people make a mistake and think that Yehoshua is somehow in place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we do make that mistake with Moshe. When Moshe doesn't come down from the mountain, what do? We build an egel. And there's a lot of things to unpack there, meaning that there was a misunderstanding in terms of the nature of who and what Moshe was. Because he was a godly being. He wasn't a god, and he was not God. But he was more, there was something supernal about Moshe. His nevuah was like no other nevuah. He spoke to Kadosh Baruch Hu face to face. When he came down from Har Sinai, he didn't even notice there were rays of light shining off of his face that were so overwhelming that he had to wear a mask when he was stood before Bnei Yisrael. It's overt psukim in the end of Parshat Mishpatim. These are in the end of Parshat Yitro. In the end of Parshat Yitro, I think. When he come, is that right? Somewhere in there. Somewhere in the end of closing psukim of one of the Parshat in Sefer Shemot. I know that I can't remember which Parshat it is, but I can't remember which Parshat it is. I think it's Parshat Yitro. When Moshe Avinu comes down from the mountain, no, it can't be there. Whatever, it's in the end of Sefer Shemot. When Moshe comes down from the mountain, it says that he has to put on a mask. A masveh. It's an overt pasuk. He was a totally different place.
He was on a different level.
But it's not even that he was, and that's something to accept. It's something we have to believe. Again, it's one of the 13 principles. You must believe that Moshe was a Navi and that his nevuah was different from all of Naviim. That Torah has a different quality than even Naviim and Ketuvim, let alone Parashat Avta.
That's why it's like more common to learn Chumash.
It's the foundation of everything. 100%. It's the foundation of everything. So as we move to the Yehoshua stage of history, Pasuk Dalet, we were given a paradigm of this, something to look back to, something to think about, to understand. V'asa Hashem lahem kasher asa l'sichon ule'og malchei ha'amori ule'aretzam asher yishmid otam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once you get into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do to those nations what he did to Sichon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their lands, which he destroyed. Meaning, just like you already watched in my lifetime, said Moshe, us walk into a nation that was more powerful and decimate them because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go and you will win. So too, just in that same paradigm, when you walk into Eretz Yisrael, I'm telling you, when you go to fight, you're going to fight physical wars, but when you go, you will win because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, He is guiding you. Pasuk Hei, Unitanam Hashem lifnechem, Vasitem lahem kechol mitzvah asher tziviti etchem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them to you according to all of the mitzvah which I'm commanding you. Chizku v'imsu, be strong, strengthen yourselves. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Because there is a possibility of fear here. We're going to feel like Hashem is not there sometimes. Because He's not going to be as overt. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us to be strong. V'al ta'ar tzumik nehem, don't fear them. Ki Hashem elokecha, hu haholech imach. Even though Yehoshua is walking in front of you, even though I've just told you that I'm now passing it over the leadership to Yehoshua, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is walking before you, even though you're not going to see Him as overtly. There won't be overt miracles anymore, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's walking before you. Lo yarpecha ve lo yazvecha, and He'll never let you go. Moshe is ready to walk off the stage of history. And so in the next paragraph, he very literally gives it over to Yehoshua. Take a look in Pasuk Zayin, in the beginning of the next paragraph. Vayikra Moshe Yehoshua, so Moshe publicly calls to Yehoshua, Vayomer Elav, and says to him, Le'inei kol Yisrael, in front of all of Klai Yisrael, so there's no confusion what's going on here. Chazak ve'amatz, he says to Yehoshua, be strong. Ki ata tavo et ha'am hazeh, el ha'aretz asher nishpa Hashem la'avotam latit lahem, v'ata tavichlena otam, you are going to bring Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, you are going to give it to them as an inheritance. But again, same emphasis. This is all coming back to reemphasize the same points because it's so hard to see. It's easy to hear. It's hard to live. V'Hashem hu holech lefanecha, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the one who walks before you, Yehoshua. Hu yiyeh imach. He will be with you. Lo yarpecha, v'lo yazvecha, v'lo tira, v'lo techat. He will never let go of you. Don't fear. You will lead the people, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's walking before you. Now, interesting what happens next in the same paragraph, which seems like it should be another paragraph, but it's the same paragraph, meaning it's all one inyan. And I want you to think for a second, how is this the continuation of Moshe right now just gave the leadership to Yehoshua? Why is this the necessary continuation of that thought? Pasuk Tet.
Did Yehoshua know that he's going to take over?
Yes, he already knew at this point for sure. From Sefer Midbar, he was already appointed.
And we're in
Devarim. This is a book and a half after he was already appointed.
Okay.
Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Vayichtov Moshe ta Torah hazot. Moshe then wrote the Torah down. He finished and completed writing the Sefer Torah. Vayitna'el ha-Kohanim b'nei Levi, he gave it over to the Kohanim, the children of Levi, hanosim et Aron b'rit Hashem, who carried the Aron of Hashem, ve'al kol zikne Yisrael. What's happening next? What is Moshe doing?
Writing down the Torah.
What is the connection between? Why was that in the same paragraph? Here's Yahushua, he's going to be your new leader. I'm off to go write the Torah now. What's one to do with the other?
Maybe that every leader has to write the Torah, like there's an account of the king
has to have a Sefer Torah. He went to write, but this is the Navi writing the Sefer Torah for the first time.
It's an end of an era, so we have to write it down.
Say again?
It's an end of an era, so we have to write it down.
Good. I want to take it one step further. You're saying similar things. Good. Let's take it one step deeper.
Did he write it on the stones?
Different. This is an actual Sefer Torah.
Okay.
What's happening is that now that Moshe has officially and publicly handed the leadership to Yahushua, his time is over. His story is over. And when Moshe Rabbeinu ends, what also has to end? The Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu ends, the Torah ends. And when Torah ends, Moshe Rabbeinu ends. The two are one and the same. The two are one and the same. There's no Navi like Moshe, and there's no one else but Moshe who can write the Torah. And the Torah is Moshe's book. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's book, but it has to come through Moshe. So once Moshe hands over the leadership to Yahushua, the Torah has come to a close. And so now he goes and he's writing down the totality of the Sefer Torah because it's come to a close. It's over. We see two examples of this, that it's not, there are many examples of this. I think that I did a search for it. I believe there are seven examples where it's referred to as such, as specifically called Torat Moshe. That's actually the term that's used for it. Two of the ones that struck me the strongest, I put on your source sheets in sources number 2 and 3, that emphasize this point. We see that Yahushua himself, when he's going and he's telling the people before his own death, when he finishes his own job in this world, to make sure to keep the Torah, he refers to it, he refers it back to Torah at Moshe. Take a look at source number 2 in the underline. V'chazak tem'o, the very end of Sefer Yoshua, b'chazak, lishmor v'lasot et kol ha-katuv b'sefer Torah at Moshe, to keep everything that was written down in the Sefer of Torah at Moshe. He could have just said the Torah, but it's davka Torah at Moshe. Levilti Sorvenu Yavin Ishmael, to not leave it at all, to not stray from it left to right. And source number 3 from Malachi. Malachi, who is distinguished in being the last of the Nevi'im. So this is the last Nevuah from the last Navi, the last 3 psukim of the last Nevuah from the last Navi. He says, and hammers home the point, Pasuk Chavbet, Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi, the last thing the Navi says is, remember the words of the Torah of Moshe, my servant. It's Torat Moshe. When the Torah ends, Moshe ends, and when Moshe ends, the Torah ends. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, in the same paragraph in the Torah, as soon as he transfers the leadership to Yahushua, he goes forth and he writes the Sefer Torah. Yeah.
How do some people say that Yahushua wrote the last two? Okay.
We're going to get there for today.
No,
you're spoiling a shir ahead now, not even the same thing. Okay. So he says, continuing on, Pasuk Yud, source number Pasuk Yud. Vayitzav Moshe otam limor, miketz sheva shanim b'moed shnat ha-shvita b'chag ha-sukot. Moshe then says, he commands the Jews, at the end of every 7 years, at the Shemitah year, on Sukkot, b'vo'o kol Yisrael lira'ot et p'nei Hashem elokech, when all of Klal Yisrael come to see Hashem, b'makom asher yivchar et beit ha-mikdash, Tikra et haTorah azot, read this Torah neged kol Yisrael v'oznehem, read it into their ears. Hakel et ha'am, gather together the whole people. What's this mitzvah of? It's in the name. Hakel, this is the mitzvah of Hakel, of gathering together once every 7 years to hear the Torah. Hakel et ha'am, ha'anashim, v'anashim, v'ataf, the men, the women, and the children. V'gercha asher b'sharecha, the converts who are in your midst. L'man yishmu, l'man yilmadu, v'yiru et Hashem elokeichem. V'shamru la'asod et kol divrei ha'Torah azot, that they should hear the words of the Torah, they should fear Hashem, and hear what the Torah has to say. Uvnehem asher lo yadu, and your children who didn't know this, yishma'u, they will hear, v'lamdu, and they will learn, li'ir'at Hashem elokichem, to fear God, kol ha'yimim asher atem chayim al adama, all the days that you live on this, that you're living in Eretz Yisrael, asher orim et ha'yardim shama l'rishta. So what mitzvah do we have here? Hakel. Now, interestingly about Hakel, which struck me very strongly, when does Hakel take place? Once every 7 years, specifically on the Shemitah year, and specifically on Sukkot. 7 years in the Shemitah year and on Sukkot. Why is the mitzvah of Hakel being introduced here? This is the paragraph of the Torah where the leadership is transferred to Yoshua, and Moshe Rabbeinu writes down the Torah. Why is this the paragraph of the Torah that introduces this mitzvah of Hakel? What's the question?
Can you spell Hakel?
It's the beginning of Pasuk Yud Bet. That's where it comes from. Yes.
Is there like a way to unite the people? Like they're all going to be scattered, like they're all going to get to the territory, and every 7 years they're all going
to
come
together. Interesting. I like what you're saying. We're going to also come back to that in the Zot HaBracha Shir. Good. More simply. Yeah, meaning what's happening right now? What's happening right now?
Moshe's literally about to die.
Yes, and Torah just has been written. It's ended. It's concluded.
So he's
commanding them to make sure that once every 7 years, to come together and to reestablish and reaffirm and strengthen their connection to Torat Moshe, which is now concluded, their connection to Yirat Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torat Moshe, which was the whole point of Sefer Devarim. Remember we talked about the klal, prat, uklal? How after all the details of the mitzvot, we have the general call of coming together and going even beyond that to be Ovdei Hashem through the mitzvot? To connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvot. So we're saying here to come back, to be reaffirmed in Yirat Hashem, at least every 7 years. And I think it's very powerful, because it's not just at the end of every 7 years. It's at the end, it's during a Shemitah year. What's the concept of a Shemitah year? What do we do in a Shemitah year?
Rest.
Take a break from?
Working the
land.
So like
which means that you have to have what?
Spiritual.
You have to have? Emunah. And what is he saying here to do to Mechazik? Emunat Hashem. Meaning on this year where you stop, and of all the years, it's the hardest year to have, it's the hardest year to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that year you have to not work, and you have to have full Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even though you're not working the land, you're going to have enough food to eat. In that year, come forward after 7 years of not having come together, and have a repetition of the Torah, Mishneh Torah, have a repetition of the Torah. Be mechazik in the Torah, be mechazik in Emunah, dafka in the Shemitah year. To come back together and hear it. And not only that, when in the Shemitah year? Chag HaSukkot, which is the culmination of all of the Moadim. Pesach, we're born as a nation. Shavuot, we get the Torah, which we have to live all of history through and for another time. But Sukkot is all about the end of days. Sukkot is all about the conclusion of things. It's Chag HaAsif, the time of the ingathering of the crops, where everything is beginning to die, everything is beginning to end, and a new cycle is starting to begin. It's very much a time of ending, of conclusions, of gathering in and gathering together. Hakel. That dafka on Sukkot of the Shemitah year, we come together to mechazik and emunah, to reaffirm ourselves in the Torah as we go forward. So as Yoshua takes the stage, we conclude the Torah, and make sure to establish a cycle of coming together to mechazik in emunat Hashem through the Torah, at least once every 7 years. Who are the ones, by the way, who are being given the Torah and this charge?
The Kohanim.
Meaning that in this paragraph, we're also setting up two paradigms of leadership. What's the leadership of Yehoshua? The physical leader. But who are the ones who are going to do this process of Hakel? The Kohanim are the, so to speak, this is not to claim that Yehoshua is not spiritual, but the spiritual leaders. The Lom de Torah, the ones who are learning Torah. There's a paradigm here being set up. Moshe Rabbeinu used to do both. And now Yeshua is going to lead the physical battle and the physical movement into Eretz Yisrael. While at the same time, the Kohanim, the Levim, they're going to be the ones to give the spiritual chizuk to Klal Yisrael every 7 years at Hakel and make sure that the Torah maintains its strength in Klal Yisrael forever. You're on the first two paragraphs? Yes? Good? Okay. So, let's move into the third and final paragraph of the parasha. Pasuk Yedaleh. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Hein kirvu yamecha lamut. Your days are coming to a close, and you're about to die. Therefore, cry to Yeshua. Again, at this point, Moshe and Yeshua are inseparable, because this is the moment of the transition of leadership. It seems like it's a lot of repetition, but remember, this is all on the same day. And now the two are always coming together as one. Because this is the section of the Torah of the transition of leadership. V'hityatzvu be'ol moed. It always used to be only Moshe, but now Moshe and Yeshua are going to come and stand together at this turning point, at this transition point. Stand together at ol moed. V'atzavenu, and I will command both of you separately in terms of what your charges are for this last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Therefore, what's our key word here? What's the next word? What?
Hashem is saying this?
Yes, to Moshe, to get Yeshua. And the two, go get Yeshua and come send it all Moed. What's the next word? Who's following inside? Pasuk Yedaled. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, hin kirvu yamecha lamut, kral Yeshua v'itatzu ba'ol Moed v'atzavenu. Vayelech, that's the topic of our parsha. It's all about going forward. Therefore, Vayelech Moshe v'Yoshua. Very different type of experience. It's a very emotional moment of the two of them coming together to Ol Moed. It's not just Moshe himself. Vayelech Moshe v'Yoshua v'yitzvu be'Ol Moed, and they stood at Ol Moed. Vayar Hashem be'Ohel be'Amud Anan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes there to the Ohel in a cloud. Vayamud Amud Ha'anan al Petach HaOhel. And the cloud came down as HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares to talk to them. Now here, Vayomer Hashem El, Pasuk Tetzayim, Vayomer Hashem El, Moshe. Remember that. He said, both of you come because I'm going to instruct both of you. Who is he talking to first? So there's going to be a nice long discussion with Moshe. And then, don't forget Yeshua, he'll get his one singular Pasuk like 10 Pasukim away from now.
And he hears
him. But he's there, because now they're co-leading the people.
But he's also here.
Yes, he's standing right there with Moshe. He needs to hear this evidently, but the instruction is to Moshe. As they both stand there. Vayomer, you could forget that Yeshua is even there, Bechlal. And then when he comes back later, wonder why he's there. The answer is they're both standing there, each waiting for their own tzivui, their own command. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, it's such a powerful, emotional paragraph. Hincha shochei v'malotecha, you're about to go and you're going to pass away and be returned to your forefathers. And now he's telling him, this is basically the last thing that he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu. What?
Hashem said to him, you're
going to
die.
Louder?
Hashem said to him, you're going
to
die.
I mean, he said it to him like 8 times in this parsha already, B'klal. He tells it to him a lot, yes. It is very sad. It's a very, very sad thing that doesn't make it to Eretz Yisrael. But Seder, which we talked about in Parshat Vetchanan.
Did the people know he was dying?
Yeah. I mean, again, when he literally just got up on stage and handed over the leadership to Yeshua. Let's go forward in this parsha.
Was Bnei Yisrael upset?
At Moshe's death?
Like that they were getting so much emotion. Like that's
like... I don't know. It's also an interesting question because the generation that we focus most of Chumash on is the previous generation that already died out. I don't know. I don't have such clarity, in fact, what this generation's relationship even was to Moshe. We know that they definitely, cried over Moshe and said, and were in a veilus Moshe for at least 30 days, it says in the end of the Torah. And that's when they go into Eretz Yisrael. But there's also something to point out that they definitely were more emotionally wrought at the death of Aharon. Moshe was a complicated person. He was the person who stood in a totally different place. It felt different. It was for sure emotional for everyone. And I'm sure they were sad that he died. It doesn't come out, though, in that way, as it does with some of the other leaders when they pass away. Pasuk Tetzvav. No, we were past that. Pasuk Tetzayin. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Hincha shochei v'malotecha, you're going to die. And he says, this is what he says to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kam ha'am hazeh v'zana acharei Elohei nechar ha'aretz asher hu v'ashama b'kirbo. And I am guaranteeing you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Klal Yisrael is going to go forward and going to stray after foreign gods of the people of the land in which you're going to go. Va'azavuni, and they are going to leave me. Va'hafirat priti asher karati to, and they are going to break my covenant. Why is that? Why is that? First of all, why is that painful? And why is that doubly painful? Why is it painful, Bichlal?
Because he's telling Moshe that like everything he's done is like... telling
Moshe that they're going to go off the derech.
And it's bad because there's nothing he can do.
But also, look at the words that I underline. Why is it even more painful? Why is it even more hurtful? Va'aferet briti. What are they going to do? They're going to break the covenant. What covenant? That was our whole last shear. That's what you weren't there for. The whole last shear of Kitavo and Nitzavim. That was the brit. And he's telling them that they will inevitably, again, we talked about this in the past, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't tell us what any individual Jew will do. He can't decide that person's free will, but he can know what the Klal will do. And he's telling him, I'm telling you for sure that Klal Yisrael is a Klal, this is a guarantee. At some point, they will most certainly go and follow other gods, and they will be Mefir that breeds. They will break that covenant.
He's saying this in front of
Yeshua. I've never thought about it in this context before, but it's interesting that actually the only Sefer which doesn't have a massive disaster on a national scale is Sefer Yeshua. And I wonder if perhaps...
Like the Shoftim time?
Shoftim, everything falls
apart.
Yeah,
so is that like the time he's talking about?
No, I think he's talking about Galut. I think he's talking about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. That's what I assume. We're really thrown out of the land. But to me, it's interesting that maybe perhaps because Yeshua was standing there and actually heard this, maybe that was one of the reasons why he was able to be a leader that was able to keep them on the derech. Right, but I'm wondering if there... I never thought about it before. Maybe there's a correlation with the fact that he heard that it was inevitable and he also kept it from happening. Yecholiot. It's an amazing thing. You read Sefer Yeshua, it's one of the most... In this way, I find it one of the most exciting sefers of all of Tanakh. There's only one person who sins in the entire sefer, and we know who he is, and he's immediately killed, and everything is fine again. It's an amazing thing. Achan, he goes and he takes from one of the cities, she takes from Yericho. They're not allowed to take anything from Yericho, and he takes from Yericho, and they go to fight Ai, and they lose. And they lose because he stole stuff. They go and they literally, there's a whole process to identify him. They stone him and get rid of him and all of his stuff. And then they go and defeat Ai and then conquer the rest of Eretz Israel. I mean, we know the one guy who sinned in all of Sefer Yeshua. There's no Sefer like that. What? I don't know. I don't think his family was killed. But I don't know. I don't remember. You can see I believe it is Perek Zayin, Yeshua Perek Zayin, where it talks about Achan and the first attempt to fight against Ai. It's for sure Perek Zayin. And Perek Chet, they overcome and beat Ai. Let's keep going forward. So, he says, they will break this breed. Pasuk Yed Zayin, V'chara pibo v'yomahu, and my anger will flare up against them in that day. V'azavtim, and I will leave them. V'hastarti panai mehem, and I will hide my face from them when this happens. V'ayal echol, they will be prey for their enemies. Umitzauhu rabot raot rabot vitzarot, and many evils and difficulties will befall them. Ve'amar bayomahu, and they will say on that day, Klal Yisrael will say when this happens to them, Halo al ki'ein elokai bikirbi mitzauni haraot ha'ila. It's not because God is not with amongst us that all of these negative things happen. We'll explain that in a second. When they say that, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'anochi astera sir panai bayomahu, then I will doubly hide my face when they say that. Al kol hara'a asher asa ki panai al Elohim acherim, about all the evil they did because they turned to other gods. Klal Yisrael realized that the reason why all these negative things are happening to them is because God is not within them. So why is he punishing them further after they admit that? Good, so they're just admitting, but let's say further than that. That's actually one of the Rishonim say is an explanation for the Pasuk. You're 100% right. I want to take out a different perspective that I think takes it a step deeper, but you're within the realm of the Rishonim. They say, because God is not within us, this happened to us.
No, it's not true. He is in us.
Meaning, what was the problem? It wasn't that God left.
They left him.
And that's so important. Because what is the message of Sefer Devarim? God is a God of love who guides the world with love. So the land of love is God is always with us. He's always connecting to us. He's always relating to us. And saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not within us is a failure of Sefer Devarim. It's missing the whole point. It's missing the whole point of what Sefer Devarim is about. And therefore, if you think it's because I'm not with you, then I'll doubly hide my face. There's a beautiful mashal, not to go too far away from the text, but there's a beautiful, beautiful mashal that's given about hide and seek. When you're playing hide and seek, where do you have to hide harder? If you're playing hide and seek in a mansion or you're playing hide and seek in an apartment, where do you have to hide harder? In an apartment. Why? There's less space. You're automatically closer. So some apply that to these psukim. Meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he hides his face, we have to go and find him and see him. Why does a Kadosh Baruch Hu have to doubly hide his face when things get so bad? The idea is that things will go so bad and be so crazy that if that any rational person will have to say, the only way that this could be happening is if God's doing it himself. Kilu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close in the times when the things are the worst and the most difficult. In the times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu doubly hides his face. The world is so crazy. It's so impossible that this could be happening. That if I were to just turn around, I'd literally trip over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's so close. But what's the issue? Come back to the Pasuk so beautifully. Come back to the Pasuk. Pasuk Yirchet. V'anochi asir asir panai b'yom huay. Well, doubly hides his face. By the way, this is the source in the Torah for what? For Esther. Because you read Megillat Esther, and Megillat Esther is ridiculous. It's hilarious. That's why it's a time of pure simcha. Because the story doesn't make any sense. The Jews are on the brink of extinction, on the brink of extermination, and then boom, things just turn around. Haman goes and builds a gallows to kill Mordechai, and as he's standing there thinking about how he's going to kill Mordechai, he gets rushed, he goes to the palace to ask Achashverosh what to do, if he can kill Mordechai. Achashverosh calls him in, says, how should I give kavod to the person who I care about so much? He says, put him on a horse and walk him around town. He says, great, do that to Mordechai. Walks him around town. The same day, Haman comes home, distraught. He says, my whole life is ruined. All I want to do is kill Mordechai. Now I had to walk him around on a horse. His wife says, oh, you're messing with the Jews. Your days are numbered. Then they come and take him to the party. Esther names him, and he's executed. It happens that fast. But the idea and what the part of the Simcha of Purim is itself, and it comes from this Pasuk, Esther comes from this Pasuk, is that when Kadosh Baruch Hu's name isn't once in Megillat Esther, that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is so not there, but it's so crazy what's happening, you have no choice but to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the only way that you don't is, V'anochi Esther Asher Panah Bayimahu, why? Al Kol Ra'a Asher Asah Ki Panah El Elohim Acherim. Because you chose to face other gods and not face me. All you had to do was turn around, and you would have been looking me in the face. That's why this will happen to you. And I will make things as difficult as it needs to be to show you that I'm running the world. So you turn to me, continue to relate to me, come back to me, and we can fix things. Ruth, and then Daniela.
I feel like when things are bad, I don't really turn around. Like, you do turn around, but like, if I was in a really bad situation, I wouldn't think, like, I don't know, but I wouldn't be
you look back at the tragedies of Jewish history, the national huge tragedies of Jewish history, the numbers of Jews that had nothing to do with Judaism, who chose to die saying Shema Yisrael. It's impossible. Meaning there was such a clarity that yes, I don't know why God is doing this, and I hate that God is doing this, and it's so painful that God is doing this. You can think to recent or distant tragedies of the Jewish people. But to not see the hand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
I feel like it's harder then.
Until it gets so bad, but until it gets so bad that you have to say it's impossible if not. That it's impossible. It's impossible for a barber who's sitting there making pennies to rise up and become a world leader and then be able to start to decimate the entire Jewish nation. How is that possible? A guy who's the stories of the insanity of these people. They're not normal people. It's not possible. And you see there, you say, I hate that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing that, and I know that we have to come back. I'm not saying that's why these things happen. I don't have answers for why these things happen. But when it gets that crazy to not see the hand of God, I don't want to talk about it because then it gets complicated and we're not going to trail off here. But you think of just the fact that you can't go, and I try to avoid it because it's just, I feel like we're still bombarded by it. You can't go one day in seminary without hearing a story from the Holocaust. An inspiring story from the Holocaust. Usually. Maybe not in your classes. Not in my classes either. But why are these stories always told? Before Ne'ilah, unsurprisingly. So before Ne'ilah, the person who got up to speak before Ne'ilah told the story from the Holocaust. Why? Why is there so much inspiration from the Holocaust? How can that be? Because even though it's horrifying, and I'm not explaining it. I'm not claiming to explain it. But to not see God there, you can't not see God there. That's the idea. Purim, it's less emotional. When we're standing there and the whole people are going to be destroyed, you can't not see God there when this little nothing Haman is able to almost kill the Jewish people.
When they're saved, 1,000% you see Hashem, but like not in the moment when they didn't have any like.
In the moment, that's when you choose to turn around and see God again, and that's when you turn around, that's when everything else turns around. 100%. Good. So that takes us to the next stage of Parshas Vayelech. Perfect. That was a perfect setup. Let's go. That was a perfect setup. Oh, sorry, Danielle, and then we're going to go back to Ruth. Yes.
It says, Bahas Tirim Vayelech.
I have. So it literally says Hashem is like taking away space from us, but then now we're saying that God didn't leave us.
Meaning he's right there, he's hiding his face.
No, but here it says that he is going to hide his face.
He's hiding his face, but all, that means we have to just look for him. We just have to open up our eyes and look for him. He's right there.
Yeah, but here it says that he didn't. He's saying like he didn't leave us, like we left him.
Correct. He's saying, I am hiding my face because you chose to turn away from me. But I think what it's really expressing, in my understanding, is that the hiding of God's face is an expression of us being facing the other way. That's how I understand it. Nicole, you know, and I understand why.
Like,
I do. I I'm pushing the pasuk farther than you're pushing the pasuk.
Yeah,
but that's how I've always understood it. Is that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, he's I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hiding his face, and he's making things worse and worse and worse in the hope that we'll finally wake up and turn around and look right at him.
Okay.
That's how I understand it. Okay. Let's take it a step further. Therefore, back to Ruth's point, okay? I don't know if you know you made the point, but you made a great point. Right? So the Torah is continuing responding to Ruth and saying the next pasuk yutet. Therefore, and this is why these two shirim come together, Vayilech and Ha'azinu. Therefore, Viata, now, as a response to that, Kitvu lachem et ha'shira hazot. Write down this song. What song?
Ha'azinu.
The song of Ha'azinu. Therefore, now write down the song of Ha'azinu. Vilamdad b'nei Yisrael and teach it to b'nei Yisrael. Sima b'fiem, place it in their mouths. Leman t'yeli ha'shira hazot le'ed b'nei Yisrael. So this song will be a testimony to me in front of b'nei Yisrael. Will be a witness for me in front of b'nei Yisrael. Because when I bring them to the land that I promised their forefathers, Zavat Chalavu Devash, this beautiful land of flowing with milk and honey, Ve'achal, Ve'sava, Ve'dashen, and they will become full, and they will become fat, and because they will become full of the physicality of Eretz Yisrael, what are they going to forget? God. They're going to forget that you have to see the divine in the details, the spiritual and the physical. And therefore, again, this Lashon of, Ufana, they will turn their face. Ufana el Elohim achirim. They will turn to other gods. Va'avadum v'niyatsu. Ve'hefer b'ti, and they will break my covenant. Therefore, Zukhavalef. Va'yaki timsena oto ra'ot rabot v'tzorot. When these terrible things come upon in Israel. Ve'anta hashira zot lefanav. This song will respond. When they go off the derech, this song is my witness who will respond to them as they're going off the derech. This song will give that testimony. Ki lo tishakach b'bizro, so therefore don't forget it from the mouths of your children. Ki adati et yisro, I know the yitzer of B'nai Yisrael. Asher oseh ayom b'terem avienu ala aratzer nishpati. Already before they've been in Eretz Yisrael, even more so when they're in Eretz Yisrael, that they're going to forget my ways, but they need to remember the song. So Moshe b'nu pasuk chavbet. Vayichtov Sorry, that's the end of God speaking to Moshe. Therefore, pasuk chavbet, then Moshe goes away from Ohel Moed. Vayichtov Moshe et hashira hazot b'yom ahu. He wrote down that song on that day. V'limdah et b'nei Yisrael. And taught it to b'nei Yisrael. We have to come back to what this song of Ha'azinu is and how it's a response to everything that we just said. But let's finish Parshat Vayilech.
It's a testimony that... What?
We'll come back. Oh. Give me a second. Who did we forget about? I told you we were going to forget about him. Yeshua, pasuk chav gimel. Vayitzav et Yeshua. So Moshe's like, okay, off to write the Shira. And like Yeshua's like, okay, I'm going to stay here. I haven't been spoken to yet, right? God's the way to talk to me. So Yeshua's still standing there. What is it, Yeshua? Vayitzav et Yeshua bin Nun. Vayomer, chazak ve'ematz, be strong. Ki atat avi et b'nei Yisrael ala arat asher nishpati lahem. Ve'anuchi yayayimach. Because you are going to bring these people into Eretz Yisrael and I will be with you. That's all he has to say to him. Why is that all he's saying to him? Longer discussion for another time, because this is in his book. We'll get more in Yoshua in the sequel. What's the sequel called? Unsurprisingly? Yoshua. Right, we'll get more on that then. But now we're finishing Moshe. So Yoshua gets his decree in Torah to take everything forward, but we'll get to unpack Yoshua in Sefer Yoshua. So Moshe is told to go and write down this Sefer, to write down this Shira, to write down the Shira of Ha'azinu. How is Ha'azinu, asks Daniela, how is Ha'azinu a testimony? What is it testifying to? What is it saying? What is Ha'azinu about? Because that's where the whole rest of the last few Pesukim of Parshat Vayilech are going towards. Moshe tells them that they're going to go off the derech and they need to keep the Torah and they need to keep Ha'azinu. Take a look, Pasuk Kaftet, just to read the last few Pesukim. We're running out of time. Read the last few Pesukim. Ki adati achare moti, because I know after I die, says Moshe, ki ashchita shchitun, you're going to totally destroy yourselves. Visartem min aderech, you will leave the way. Asher tziviti etchem, which I'm commanding you. Vikarata etchem et ara'a b'acharit ha'inim, at the end of days, there's going to be bad things that are going to happen to you. Hitasu et ara'a b'nei Hashem l'achiso, because you are going to do that which is evil in the eyes of God to make Him angry. V'maseh yidekem, for what you do. Therefore, Pasuk Lamed, Vaydaber Moshe be'oznei kol kahal Yisrael et divrei hashira azot ad tumam. Therefore, Moshe went and sang, gave over this poem of Ha'azinu to Kal Yisrael until its conclusion. How is Ha'azinu a response to the fact that we're going to go off the derech? How is Ha'azinu a response to the fact that we're going to eventually sin? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hide His face. And we're going to even go further. And then we're going to need to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the function of Parshat Ha'azinu? How does Ha'azinu respond to Vayelech? Why is this the other half of Vayelech, so to speak? What is Ha'azinu about? So turn over your pages. Parshat Ha'azinu. Parshat Ha'azinu. What? No. It's much, much longer. I cut the whole thing off the page.
I hate how it's written.
I love how it's written.
Well, why is it stopped too?
What?
Why is it stopped? Like,
that's the end of the Shira, and then this is back to regular text.
I don't know what the whole Shira has in my heart. Like, when I was little,
I didn't know. Why is it that after Moshe says, at the end of days, you will definitely need this song in order to be able to live your life as Jews, and we don't know it, I think that answers its own question. And that's why we're doing this.
Why?
Of course, at the end of days. Of course, at the end of days, we don't know Ha'azinu, because what do we need to know at the end of days? Ha'azinu. That's the whole point.
Right,
yes. One person at a time, please. Yeah.
Okay. We said before that Moshe finished writing Torah. And then
I assume some sort of Ein Muktam Mulcharba Torah here. I don't know exactly, meaning that it's all happening in the same day.
Okay.
It's all one fluid motion, but the Torah is giving it over in a logical progression as opposed to, I don't know how else to explain it. Yeah, I hear your question. Lauren, and then I want to use the last minutes that we have. Yeah. Ha'azinu always falls out between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. There's so much going on. There's so much going on that it gets overlooked, and it's a chaval al gabei chaval that it's overlooked. Because we need to know it. And it's hard, and I'm not even giving a shir on it. It's just going to be the end of the Vayelech Ha'azinu shir. Because you have to sit, because I couldn't, to sit and even just sit and translate the psukim would take hours. To really understand them. It's poetry. It's deep, beautiful poetry. But I want us to understand, what is the goal of Ha'azinu? That's what we're going to do right now. What's the goal of Ha'azinu? Let's stay quiet for the last few minutes. What's the goal of Ha'azinu? Shh. What's the goal of Ha'azinu?
Is it testimony that?
What's the goal of Ha'azinu?
Waiting to finish
up. Says, source number 5 in the Sifrei. What is Ha'azinu? Ha'azinu is the song of history. Ha'azinu is the song of history. Says the Sifrei, the Midrash Halacha, black on white in the most explicit of terms in source number 5. Amarta, Gidola Shirazo, this Shira is so great. Sheyeshba Achshav, it tells about today. Vyeshba L'Sheavar, it tells everything in the past. Vyeshba L'Atid Lavon, it tells everything of the future. Vyeshba B'Olam Hazeh, it tells about Olam Hazeh. Vyeshba L'Olam Haba. Everything is in Shirat Hazid, you'll tell me, but it's only, I think, 43 Pesukim. But what type of psukim are they? It's not regular chumash even. What is it? Not a song or a poem. It's a poem or a song. And we even know, we intuitively understand, poetry, song contains in it so much more than is on the literal meaning of the text. And hidden within this song is the promise of the nature of history. And so what does that guarantee us? The Ramban, very beautifully at the end of Ha'azinu, explains. We're only going to read the underlines and we're going to basically conclude with the underlines. The Ramban in source number 6. He says, V'inei ha-shira hazot, asher hibanu le'ed emet v'ne'eman. The shira comes to us as a witness that is true and trustworthy. Tagid b've'or kol ha-mitzo'ot otanu. It tells us everything that is going to happen to us from the day that we left Mitzrayim all the way until the end of days. Next underline. V'ze barur ki al ha-gi'ula tidai yavtiach. It tells us that there will be an eventual redemption. It's promising the redemption as well. Says the Ramban, this is not telling us that there can be a redemption. The Song of Azinu is a promise that we were taking. It tells us everything that was, everything that is, and it's telling us that there will be a redemption. It is a promise that there will be a redemption, and if it's in the Torah, and it's in the Shira, it must be true. It's a guarantee of the redemption for the Jewish people. As he explains in the next underline, Vihine is the beginning of the line. Hear the words. Vine ein bashira hazot tnai b'tshuva v'avoda. There is no requirement in this Shira. There is no prerequisite in coming back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There is no prerequisite of tshuva. There is no prerequisite of avoda. Rak shtar edut shenaaseh haraot v'nuchal. There is a promise that we will go off. We will do the wrong thing. V'shui barach yaseh banu b'tochachot chima. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu will punish us. Avalo yashivat zichrono. Avalo yashvit zichrono. But he won't forget us. V'yashuv. V'yitnachem, v'yifra min ha'ovim b'chovo ha'kasheh v'agdola v'chazakah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have pity on us, and He will bring us back, and He will take out vengeance against our enemies. V'yichaper al chatotinu l'man shmo, and He will forgive our sins in His name. It's a promise that we will go off, but it's also a promise that we will come back. It's a promise of Geula. In Cain, Hashira hazot havtacha mivo'eret. This Shira is a promise. B'geulah ha'atidah, in the future redemption, al karchan shalminim, against anybody who says anything differently. The Ramban says in the concluding, the last three lines that are underlined, he says, and if a non-Jewish astrologer were to have come with me to the song, I would have had to believe that everything coming forward would be true, because everything written has come true until this point, says the Ramban, centuries after the Torah was written. He says, even if a non-Jewish astrologer came with me to it, I'd have to believe it because everything in it is true. And so the Geula is true as well. Give me 1 minute to finish. It's our last year before the break. I apologize. What the Ramban here is saying, and what the Shira here is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, they're going to go off the derech. They're going to stray. Why do they need this Shira? Why is this the last teaching of the Torah? Because when we go off, and we think that it's because Hashem is not there, and we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not within us, this Shira is a testimony, one, that it was always going to happen, and it's part of God's plan. God is a God of love, who guides the world with love to a destination of love. It guarantees that even this is part of the guiding of the world with love, that He's still with us, as He promises in the Shira, and He's promising that He will inevitably, no matter what, He will bring us to our final destination. He will bring us to Olam Haba. He will bring us to Geula. And that's why we need the Shira of Ha'azinu at the end of Torah. Because even though Torah is ending, Jewish life is continuing. The history of the Jewish people is continuing. And this Shira takes us all the way until the end of history with the promise of, no matter what happens, the eventual redemption. Bezrat Hashem, we should be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives and in history, and through that be able to bring about the Geula at the end of days.